Welcome back to the Blame It on the Rain podcast with your host, that's me, Samsara, where we look at all the things that happened this week in this crazy world we live in. This week we had our still new, that's something to remind everybody, still new administration. They have only been in office since January 20th, not quite 5 months yet, and both the vice president and the president took international trips. Vice President Harris went to first to Guatemala and then to Mexico to look at the root issue behind why people are migrating, why they're coming over our border. This was something that was assigned to her by President Biden. What happened was the press attacked her, literally attacked her. I couldn't believe it. Even Lester Holt had her on his show, and he kept saying, but you haven't gone to the border yet. And her answer was, well, I haven't gone to Europe. And then she got attacked for that. AOC attacked her for telling people in Guatemala not to come over the border. But if she'd said, come, you're welcome, somebody would have attacked her for that too. What a hopeless, horrible situation to put her in. Meanwhile, I remember just not very long ago when Mike Pence was vice president and babies were being snatched from their mother's breasts, literally. Babies that were still nursing, being separated from their families. And I don't remember anybody ever calling him out on the press, bringing him on a show and attacking him. So why are they attacking her? Is it because she's a woman? Is it because she's a woman of color? Is it both? I just don't know, but it's been a subject of conversation all week. How poorly she's doing. This is terrible. She's trying. Give her a chance. Meanwhile, her and her husbands were out this weekend in D.C. marching in the Pride Parades. And that's the first sitting vice president ever who has been in a Pride Parade. And there they were, their arms around each other, looking like they're madly in love. That's the kind of vice president we have. And all this nasty talk in the tax center, yeah, that needs to get blamed on the rain. Susan Collins is concerned again. She's clutching her pearls. But wait till you hear what she's concerned about this time. So she says that in their infrastructure negotiations, her and Senator Blunt, please, have proposed a tax on drivers of electric cars so that they pay their, wait for this, all right, fair share of using the roads, because they're not paying the taxes on gas that other drivers are. Excuse me, lady, this is insane. I mean, it's just nonsense. She is nonsense. She's absolutely and utterly nonsense. And this is really annoying. I mean, we're trying to go for climate change, to get rid of gasoline and our dependence on oil. And now you want people to pay taxes? Ugh. Can I just blame her on the rain and get rid of her entirely? I'm so sick of that woman. I cannot believe she was re-elected in Maine. What is wrong with the people in Maine? I mean, don't they have ranked choice voting there as well? And she got re-elected? Nobody expected her to get re-elected. I don't get it. So, that really pissed me off. If I cry. One piece of news that came out this week that I was particularly sad about was that Andy Slavitt stepped down from his role as Biden's senior COVID advisor. He only took the role on temporarily for 130 days to get things under control. If you remember, he had also worked in the Obama administration, and of course, that kind of work is intense, and a lot of people don't want to do it again. But he apparently stepped up and helps Biden out in this temporary role, and now he's done. But he apparently was last year, 2020, he was going around behind the scenes and checking out what was going on with COVID, unbeknownst to a lot of people. He gave advice to many governors that wanted to listen to him, and also even spoke to Jared Kushner. He also spoke to Alex Azar, who was the head of Health and Human Services, if you remember him, and found out that when they first, the Trump administration, when they first got news of COVID, they put a block on everybody connected, everybody involved in the administration, and especially anybody who would be involved in health, in any public interviews or talking about it for 45 days. They weren't allowed to say anything. Apparently, Azar had at the time a an interview booked on Fox News, and Katie Miller came along and told him he couldn't do it. He had to cancel it. And she worked for Mike Pence. So they're all culpable in this. Interestingly enough, Andy Slavitt has written a book called Preventable. I am dying to read it. It comes out on Tuesday, so I'll probably talk about it next week if I get a chance to read the whole thing. And so, preventable. Really? This pandemic was preventable. One of the other things he talks about is that he was behind the scenes in contact with Dr. Valley Girl Scarf Lady, Deborah Birx. And he apparently first met with her in August of 2020. At the time, she was completely silenced by the Trump administration. If you remember, this is the one, the doctor who sat in the room and looked down when he talked about the bleach injections. Yeah, her. And she's also the one who had come out at some point before that and said that Trump had this amazing ability to integrate data and listen to her and and understand. It's like, oh, please, lady. We all knew that was complete fucking bullshit. But apparently she was really silenced, and she told him that she wasn't allowed to talk and give anybody facts. Then by October, another time that he met with her, she was terrified, absolutely terrified. She had been threatened, her family had been threatened. And of course, she said some of this in her attempt at rehabilitation tour herself before, but apparently he's verifying it. So, how about that? But wow. So they were all silenced. This was all a nightmare. I mean, I think we always knew this, but just hearing it from somebody who actually has come in and solved the problem. I believe, Biden's first day in office, there were 185,000 cases of COVID just that day diagnosed in the United States. But just hearing it from this guy who has put things together and done something good is, whew, that's something you really wish you could blame on the rain, huh? So let's talk about some weird things that have happened with news stations this week. First of all, CNN let Jeffrey Toobin come back. And he was the guy. Well, actually, I'm going to play this. So just in case you don't know or you forgot what he did, I will remind you.
In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera.
So that was Alison Camerota recapping what Jeffrey Toobin was caught doing. He was fired from the New Yorker. He was put on suspension from CNN for, I think, 7 or 8 months, whatever it is. And now they've allowed him to come back. And while he did seem remorseful for what he did, I'm not really sure why he was allowed to come back. He claimed that he didn't know he was still on camera.
I just wanna be you. I just wanna be you.
And that's not the strangest thing that happened, in my opinion, with these cable news stations this week. President Biden is going to have an interview with Putin. Lovely guy. So apparently NBC News cornered a 90-minute sit-down interview with Putin. Why? Can't they let Joe Biden talk to him and we'll find out what he thinks then? But talk about crazy? Well, this is something I'm going to play for you. Just listen to what they asked him.
When President Biden was asked whether he believes you are a killer, he said, "I do. Mr. President, are you a killer?"
Are you a killer? What did they actually expect him to answer? Did you hear his evil laugh, by the way? That was incredibly evil. I had tingles going down my spine. But really, what a stupid question. Are you a killer? Like, as if he's going to answer this? What is going on with these news networks? Can I blame this on the rain? Because I don't know what else to do with it. It's bananas. Fucking bananas.
Blame it on the 100 degrees. Blame it on the traffic on the highway. Anything. What I know is true. So bring on all the clouds and let it rain on. I'll be okay if I can put the blame on anything. Everything.
Is there something that happened this week that you wish you could blame on the rain? Did you know you could leave me a voicemail message and tell me about it, and I might include it in next week's episode? Here's how you do it. You just go to anchor.fm/blameit/message. That's anchor.fm, that's F as in Frank, M as in Mary, /all one word blameit, blameit/message. You never know how lucky you'll be. Go ahead, do it. In my call to action last week, I discussed the various bills that have been passed at the state legislatures and how concerning they are. I also said that I didn't think that Joe Manchin was as big a threat to us as Kyrsten Sinema, in that I thought he would come around. And shortly after I finished my podcast and published it, bam, Manchin comes out with an op-ed that he's not going to vote for HR1. He wants to support the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and he's never going to vote for HR1 because of yada, yada, yada. And he's also never going to be in support of abolishing the filibuster, which he said all along, but he has said he would be in support of reforming it. Since then, Nancy Pelosi has said that she still believes she could get him to come around, and he met with people like Rev Al Sharpton, and they had some discussions about saving democracy. But the whole thing left me thinking that he's old school into bipartisanship, but we really can't have bipartisanship because there aren't two functioning parties anymore in this country. There's the Democrats, and then there's a bunch of people who feel homeless that were Republicans or were independents that swung. Yes, there are people who swing, although a lot of people argue that there aren't, but when I was phone banking last year, I talked to them. So I know they exist. And then there are a bunch of people who are just completely consumed in really an attempt at authoritarianism. And that's what it is. That's what former guy wants. He wants to be a dictator. And there are a lot of people who are so scared of him in the GQP that's all they can think of. But we have a big problem because we're stuck on a lot of purity, really. For example, AOC came out and said that if, And I know it's a big if, but if Joe Manchin were to put together an infrastructure bill and had 10 Republicans, because, you know, he's working with a committee, there's 5 Democrats and 5 Republicans, and if he had 10 that were, you know, going to co-sponsor it and committed to voting on it, she said she wouldn't vote on it because it wouldn't be enough. And this is a big problem, I think. So the way it works is, you know, if they came to get up with something in the Senate, it would then have to go back to the House to be voted on before it would go to the president's desk, just in case somebody doesn't realize that, because that gets a little bit complicated. But this is a huge problem, because we're going to have to compromise, and we're going to have to widen our tent. We're going to have to somehow get people that understand that if they're voting for Republican candidates in 2022, the Republican candidates who are pushing up are the ones that are endorsed by former guy. So they're part of this authoritarian movement. And they're going to have to vote Democrat. And this is, you know, I know from phone banking that it's a big deal for a lot of people that have always voted Republican, that their families for generations have always voted Republican. And they, I persuaded a lot of them last year, but some of them got emotional about it. I had people cry on the phone with me. So it's a big deal for people. But we need to widen that tent and make some compromise to get out of this situation that we're in. And I can't think of any other way we can do it. So we're going to have to talk to people and get them out to vote and get them to vote Democrat. Because if we lose the House in 2022, if we lose the Senate in 2022, democracy's over in this country. And I don't think a lot of people take it seriously or believe in it, or maybe they don't listen to the news right now. They're not paying attention to how bad it is. I mean, this movement, we thought once we got former guy out of office, it would die down, but it hasn't. It's gotten worse, and it keeps getting worse. And the more stuff that comes out about what he did, even that's not scaring people, and about what he continues to do. And you've got, I think at last count I saw, there were 19 QAnon candidates who've either expressed views that were supportive of QAnon, or, you know, have outright said that they support QAnon, that are running for Congress already. And we're only in June of 2021, so we're going to have some more. And that means we could have more of those Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts. I mean, this is really getting scary to think of these people getting into Congress and more of them. And, you know, both of them are up for election again in 2022. So we need to stamp them out, not get more of them. But that's what we're looking at. And somehow we have to convince people who are the swing voters or the reasonable people left that were Republicans who just don't want any part of former guy. We have to show them that we're not radical, and that we can compromise and give them some of what they want. And we have to convince them and talk to them. And, you know, it's very difficult because I know that even the ones that are reasonable probably still watch Fox News. And that's a real problem because Fox News has been completely radicalized. And they got worse when their competition, such as Newsmax and OAN, came out. And I think they've died down a bit. Like, I heard that former guy gave an interview to Newsmax a couple weeks ago, that right at the end of May, and the viewership was less than a rerun of Chopped that ran on, I think, the same night or another night. So yeah, I don't think it's anything like the way people are being brainwashed by the Hannitys and the Ingrahams and the Carlsons on Fox News. But there's a lot of them that's all they watch, and that's all they pay attention to. And they're convinced that even seeing Joe Biden on the world stage at G7 hearing his speeches, hearing his press conference, they're still convinced that there's something wrong with him and that he's got dementia. They're seeing things in a different way than the rest of us see them. And that's really dangerous. So I think it's done with conversations. I think it's done with showing people that we're not radical. But it's a call to action. What else can we do? And how else can we expand this tent? Because it's really serious. We have to save democracy. One of the worst challenges we face is the turtle himself, Mitch McConnell.
As you look to what the majority leader has in mind for June, it's pretty clear the era of bipartisanship is over.
So did you hear that laugh? The era of bipartisanship is over, and he thinks that's funny. It's not funny, not at all. Because if we can't get some agreement, then we can't get anything passed. Nothing. And we haven't had anything passed in until the Democrats got into power. We didn't have anything passed for 4 years except judicial appointments. And even McConnell, even though he had his disagreements with former guy, he's into power, just like all the rest of them. Either that or they're being threatened. Liz Cheney said there were more that would speak out about the big lie, but they're afraid to because they've been threatened. And we found out more about that this week, that certain people in state legislatures had to pack up their families and go stay in a hotel under with security detail because they were afraid. People are getting threats. If you don't support this, then we will hurt your family. I mean, that's very, very scary. And I haven't even touched on the subpoenas that all the attorney generals that were in the Trump administration are denying they knew about, but for surveillance on Democrats. That's absolutely terrifying. The more is developing on that, we still don't really know enough about what is going on. This makes Watergate look like, you know, a child's play. And but the biggest threat that we face is that if we lose the House or we lose the Senate in 2022, or God forbid both, they're never going to certify an election for a president where a Democrat wins. Let me say that again. They're not going to certify an election for president where a Democrat wins if they're in power. I mean, think about what could have happened on January 6th when they were certifying the election. And, you know, certifying elections is not something any of us even thought about. We didn't even really understand it, or most of us, I didn't, because we didn't really care. It was just something that happened. They counted the votes, and they sent them up, and they certified it, and it was all done, and no one had to worry about it. Now we have to worry about it, and we have to seriously worry about it. And if it doesn't get done, if an election isn't certified, then we're in an authoritarian regime. And that's not democracy. And it's scary. So what is the answer? Again, I don't really know. I just know that there are lots of people out there who, if they understood a bit more about this, we maybe could convince them to vote as a Democrat. And as long as we don't appear too crazy and too radical, we might be able to widen our tent, get those people in, to stomp out these people who want to support him and drive us to that. But we have to be united, we have to be strong, and we have to understand that we're going to have to make compromises. And purity isn't going to work. And we might be able to get there. So this is my call to action. Think about it. Who can we all talk to and persuade? What can we do? And let's do some more thinking about it and see what we come up with. June is Pride Month. It's a month to celebrate rainbow colors of diversity for all the wonderful people in the LGBTQIA community. It's also a month when we have to really think about what's going on with the fucking Republicans and what they're doing to LGBTQ people. It's kind of interesting because it seems that they're hanging their hat on transgender people for the 2022 midterm elections, or at least they're making a lot of issues about that. They're trying to stick that in everybody's face with all of these different bills that they're passing. I guess they realize that same-sex marriage is actually quite popular, and it was something that for a long time they seemed to try to make a big issue of. And, oh, a marriage should be with a man and a woman, just. And it seems that they've kind of really gotten away from that now, so now they're focused on transgender. So it's always some part of that community that they're after. But right now, in 29 out of our 50 states, there's no protection for a transgender person other than employment and marriage. But in terms of housing, public assistance, they've got no protection. So a transgender person could go to rent an apartment and the landlord could say, I'm sorry, I don't rent to transgender people. And that's that. They wouldn't get the apartment. And there wouldn't be anything that they could do about it. I think that's really tragic. We've got to find a way to reverse some of these bills. We've got to find a way to stop them because we can't discriminate against people. It's wrong. And it's got to stop. And Pride Month, here's a month when we can start talking about it and maybe doing something about it. So if I can have a little bit of silliness and pride and joy this week, it has definitely been watching the Bidens at the G7. And I guess like anybody else in America, one of the things I've truly loved is him coming out and being Mr. Tough Guy against a couple people over there, such as, Bojo the Clown, but especially what he said about Putin.
This is my first overseas trip as President of the United States. I'm heading to the G7, then to the NATO ministerial, and then to meet with Mr. Putin to let him know what I want him to know.
So I have a lot of duality within myself of who I am and what I identify as. And people say I have an English accent, but then other people hear the Irish in my accent, and some people hear both, and it's very confusing, and I'm just as confused as anybody. I was born of Irish parents, and when my parents went to England in the 1950s, they were confronted with signs that said, Irish need not apply for jobs. Mm-hmm. And not only for jobs, for housing too. They were thrown out of pubs, bars, as you call them in America, but they weren't allowed to dine in the same places as English people because they were seen as less than. And you can't be just a little bit Irish, I'm going to tell you. When you got Irish blood running through your veins, you've got some rebel streak because it's just there. Because they were oppressed, the Irish, by the English for hundreds of years. And overtaken and overrun and treated like they were pieces of fucking shit. And their land was taken from them, stolen from them. They were suddenly told, sorry, you don't own this land that's been in your family for generations. It now belongs to us. This went on for hundreds of years. So, like I said, you can't be a little bit Irish. You're either Irish or you're not. And that's just the way it is. So here's President Biden on his first night on UK soil. He's speaking to American troops. But he is on UK soil. I'll just say that again. And he's a Irish-American president. Not a first, but he really is Irish. And he is giving this speech, and at the end, he quotes, I'm sure most Americans missed this, but he did, he quotes a couple of lines from Yeats, W.B. Yeats, who's a very famous Irish poet, and the poem that he's quoting from happens to be about the 1916 Easter Rising, which was an insurrection. Not all insurrections are bad, by the way. He has just issued a warning to Bojo, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, about what the motherfucker is trying to do with Northern Ireland in regards to Brexit, and how he's fucking broken all his goddamn promises. And he's telling them no. And then he cites this to let them know, look, there's a new master in town. And we're not playing here. So this is not cool. You want to, like, get America's help? You better play by my rules, dude. And I thought it was fucking hysterical and awesome and incredible and every other adjective I could come up with. No. And in time to be, where evergreen is worn, are changed utterly, a terrible beauty is born. So yeah, there he was, on his first night on British soil, and he trolled the fucking Brits. Maybe you've got to have Irish blood in your veins to understand how phenomenal that was. But yeah, it was awesome.
Say the devil is dead, the devil is dead, the devil is dead. Some say the devil is dead and buried in Killarney. More say he rose again, more say he rose again, more say he rose again and joined the British Army.
It's just been such a delight watching these leaders of other countries, which some people in America don't care about world leaders in other countries. They just think it's nothing. And maybe my feeling, my elation at watching this has been throughout the years that I've been here. So I've been here in America for 35 years now. I grew up in, well, I was born in England and I lived there till I was 11. And then my parents moved to Ireland and I lived in Ireland until I was 20. So I was a young adult when I moved by myself to America. And initially I was still in touch with people in Ireland. And it's always been so shameful whenever we've had a president like W. And people over there were asking me, really? Is this what America is like? Or when they watched Jerry Springer episodes and asked me if that was what American society was really like. And I'm like, no, not really. So when we've had, you know, wonderful, intelligent presidents who knew how to behave and went on the world stage with other world leaders, it's always been a source of pride for me. Yeah, that's why I came to America. Now you understand. Because, you know, there is sort of this feeling of, like, what is America about? And why does it change hands? And it's good, and then it's bad, and it's good, and then it's bad. And a lot of people just don't understand in other countries why we are the way we are. So it's been such a delight watching Joe Biden and his wife, our beautiful graceful first lady, so intelligent. Watching her get onto the world stage and launch her initiatives, which are, you know, she's made it very clear, military families and then childhood education, and watching her with Kate, Prince William's wife, the Duchess of Cambridge, and watching them interact with one another and go to a primary school in England, and watching her sit at a picnic bench and have fun with a non-profit organization. And then watching these world leaders embrace Joe Biden and want to sit with him, and they all look like they're kind of cheering for him, wanting to get together with him, as opposed to, you know, Bojo the clown, as I call him, Boris Johnson, who is just so out of his leagues, and looks rather uncomfortable, trying to pretend that he wasn't a former guy clone and that he isn't a buffoon that he is. But just watching Joe Biden being respected, and everybody being so happy that we once again have an American president that they can all be proud of. And Joe's funny too, he makes a lot of jokes. And then just watching the Queen, you know, I don't care what anybody says, she's always going to be my queen. I grew up with her. I grew up singing God Save the Queen to her. And I could sing it today. God save our gracious queen. Long live our noble queen. God save the queen. She will always be my royal, my admired, wonderful lady on that throne. And I think she's so funny. She's never lost her sense of humor, and she demonstrated that a couple of times. So she sits down to take like the family G7 picture with all these leaders, and she says, and then she goes to cut a cake with a sword. And either Camilla or Kate say to her,
"What? There is a knife in the church. I know there is." More unusual.
95 years old, she just lost her husband. She walks a lot slower than she used to, but she hasn't lost it. And seeing her smile at the Bidens, and they know how to act around somebody like her, as opposed to former guy. He was such a buffoon. It was ridiculous. Like, really, you think that when you're going to meet somebody like that, that you would look up some protocols and how to behave. So it's, anyway, it's just been a delight watching this and feeling. America's always been the world's big brother since World War II. And seeing everybody want to hang out with Joe. And Joe's cool. Joe's nice. Just seeing how lovely this was has really warmed my heart, in a way that probably nobody else could understand unless you'd gone up over there and came here. But this one's going to be something I'll blame on the sunshine in Cornwall, because they've had a lot of it. And isn't it beautiful, that scenery in Cornwall, if you've been watching any of it? Enjoy, because yeah, England can be lovely. How'd you like to come on the show and talk to us? Tell us about things you'd like to blame on the rain, or what you think of politics and what's going on in the world. We'd love to have you as a guest. So just send us an email at blameitontherain@icloud.com. blameitontherain@icloud.com. Love to hear from you. Well, that's our show for this week. That's about all the insanity I can handle, and I'm sure that you can handle. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. It's been great to talk to you. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And give us a rating. It really helps because then other people can find us a little bit more easily. Talk to you soon. Bye. You have been listening to the Blame It on the Rain podcast, which is created, narrated, and amateurly edited by me, Samsara. The music throughout the show, including the intro, outro, verses, bridges, and musical interludes, are my original songs, composed and recorded with my voice by me.
The sky is gray and once again, I can feel the storm come.